Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. Reach Roy at 615-842-999 or visit roymatlockjr.com. And now, here's Roy.
All right, we are back once again. Been back on the air since 2018 doing Talking Money. That's it. In the beginning days of the money game back in the early 90s. And today, here we are again talking money. That's all I talk about is money. Money. And so today we're going to talk about, if you just are tuning in, the Money and Business Hour is about getting your finances fixed once and for all, getting a plan in place. If you're tuning in, you might visit roymatlockjr.com or go to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour, because last week, or the last show that we put on, we talked about, you know, what it's like to meet with a financial advisor. If you were to meet with me, what it would be like. And if you, a lot of times people view financial advisors as salespeople. And if they are, then you're probably dealing with the wrong financial advisor. You know, if they come in and they're trying to get you to buy a certain product, then that's probably not what the person needed to be with. But what we do, I try to consult with people in such a way to help them reach where they want to end up. And the idea is there's advice and there's, you know, education. I believe if you're listening right now, you're one that's up for self-improvement and you're learning. And so the more educated I believe you are, the better you can meet with an advisor. Now, I'm not going to tell you that if you've never done anything with your money, that you don't want to meet with an advisor, but it makes it better if you continue to grow. I hear a lot of my clients, they say, I heard you on the radio Saturday or whatever it was. And I like that, because then I can talk to them more about things because they've been listening and stuff like that. And so what we're going to do today is kind of go through advice and products. And so we gather information, we give advice, we then go to a product marketplace, and certain products do certain things depending on your stage in life. And so this morning we'll start with getting the defense in place. So these are checklists that you should be thinking about. Your first line of defense is always your income. All right. And when I say your defense, you know, you hear today about AI going to eliminate everybody's job. All right. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it will. It does eliminate some jobs. And you have to be on the offense, growing your skill set all the time. It's going to be more important that you do that. I've always believed that your income is your foundation of everything. So if you're having financial problems, the first thing I always look at is your income. Are you making any money? If you were making 50 grand a year in 20 years ago, you need to be making 100 grand a year now to be at the same level. And is inflation going to continue? Probably. It has forever. I don't think we can go to the movie theater like my mom and dad for, you know, a nickel or anything like that ever again. So the whole point being is that you got to always grow your income. How do you grow your income? You grow your skill set. All right. And then ultimately, if you really are thinking forward, you start looking at different income streams. You know, where am I making money off this? I'm making money off that. That could be your investments. That could be, you may have a rental property. There's all these different things. You got your earned income. You got your investment income. You got a business income. You got a pension. You got all these different things that you're building toward. So then what we do, we get that, and we then have to budget and start our plan. And so this is a checklist. So number one, is your income growing? Number two, do you have a budget? And that means a budget that allows you to automatically spend less than you make, opening up a gap. We call that the quality of life gap. I learned that years ago. The difference between your income and your outgo is in direct proportion to the quality of life that you have, the stress you have. So if you've got more going out than coming in, you're stressing. If you got less going out than coming in, you're not stressing. You will get way more excited about your investment statement when you start seeing your investment statement growing by putting more money in there. And that's a budget. And I try to tell people all the time, look, live below your means. All right. Always live below your means. So you can never be too conservative on your spending. So you want to do that. How do you do it? Set up a budget. Well, there's a lot of ways you can do it. The easy one that I do is put all the money in one bank account, and all my income streams go into one bank account. And then I have a weekly amount of money that I can use to live on. And all I have to do is manage that weekly amount. And we have that in a separate account. That would be like a debit card if you're trying to get things going. So I would do that. You can go to roymatlockjr.com and you can download our budget form. It's one of our most popular forms, but also you can search on the website, the podcast, and I've got so many times I've put budgets in there. We then want to set up and automate the emergency fund. The emergency fund is a checklist. Do you have 3 to 6 months of liquid cash set aside? Why? You know, for instance, I just had my car insurance looked at. And one of the things that I don't have any collision coverage on my car. And you say, you don't have any collision coverage? No, I don't have collision coverage. If I have a wreck, I'll pay for it. You know why I'll pay for it? Because I got the money to pay for it. Saves me about $200 a month. Think about that. $200 a month. So I'm self-insuring. I raise my deductibles. I do that stuff. So I'm going to make sure and have the automated emergency fund. How do you do that? I recommend a money market mutual fund. We draft it right out of someone's checking account. And every month they're building their emergency fund. We're going to buy life insurance, term life to start always. You need to have at least 10 times your income. Plus you may want to add your mortgage to it. And maybe your kid's college education. That's if anything were to happen to you, you know, that would take care of and provide your family a way of, you know, continuing their lifestyle. If you don't have life insurance and you have children, that is a bad plan because we see it all the time. If you want to know how bad a plan it is, just do www.gofundme.com and see about all of the people on there that they lost a husband or a wife or whatever, and now they've got kids and no money and nothing. And for a small amount of money, they can get term insurance. You can go to roymatlockjr.com, ask for a quote. We actually have life insurance that you can get issued in 10 minutes, and it includes a will or trust. There's no excuse for not having proper life insurance. And so we buy term life insurance. So we start with growing our income. We set up a budget. We automate the emergency fund and we shop and buy term life insurance. That's the beginning of the defense. When we come back, we'll finish that up, go to the offense, and then we're going to talk buckets and products. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Roy Matlock Jr. here. And today we're giving you a checklist to you know, get your stuff in order. You know, people ask me, what do you really do? I said, well, here's what I do. I set up plans that are automated, that automatically create long-term wealth. How about that? That's a pretty good plan. And we have a defense and an offense. The defense is keeping you from making mistakes, avoiding bad decisions, and protecting our income and our assets. And so the first defense, if you're just tuning in, is grow your income. How do you grow your income? You grow your skill set, your value proposition. Ask yourself this question. Am I making more money now than I did last year? Am I making more money than I did 5 years ago? Here's the thing you got to realize. You have to make more money every year just to keep up with inflation. So is your income outperforming inflation? That's the first thing. You set a budget up to spend less than you make. How do you know if you're spending less than you make? You have savings. You don't have credit card debt. You don't have car payments. That's how you do that. Number three, you set up an emergency fund. An emergency fund is to keep you from having to dip into things that are long-term. I had a conversation last night with a real estate agent that had been in the business, real estate business for 19 years. And she asked me a question. There was another person there. Is it better to rent or own a house? And so I said this, and you're going to sit here and say, well, hold on. Well, renting is probably the best value. And she was kind of like, how do you come up with that? I said, well, to begin with, if you rent, you are able to free up cash. And if you free up cash, you can take that investment and it's probably going to grow more than a home will, all right, in value. And most people don't make money on real estate because they don't hold it long enough. All right. And however, People buy houses. You know why they buy houses? Because they want to own their home. How about that? They want to be able to tear a wall down and build a new kitchen. They want to put a pool in the backyard or a fence, or they want to tear a fence down, or they want to change their garage around. They want to do whatever they want to do. They want to paint it purple. They don't, that's why you own. And as a result of owning, what will end up happening is over time you will build up equity, and it is a forced savings plan. So do I tell people, yeah, buy a house, but don't buy your personal residence as an investment. Buy it as a place to live that you get some equity in, and over time you will do good. However, if you sell within the first 10 years, there's a possibility you're not going to do good. So that's how you go looking at things like that. So what happens is when you look at your finances, you have to look at, okay, the emotional side. You got to look at the actual number side. So I tell people, why do you set up an emergency fund? So you don't make mistakes, all right? You don't lose your house because you're stretched so thin and you lose your job, all right? You set up an emergency fund so you can save money on other things like penalties that you pay if you pull your 401k out early, or deductibles. You raise them so you pay lower premiums and free up. So your emergency fund makes money that way. So that's number three. You buy term life insurance. That's just a no-brainer. What is term life? It pays off if you die. It's cheap. You can buy $1 million, 30-year-old can buy $1 million of term insurance. You know, you've got a little baby, all right, two of them, and you could probably get $1 million for under $100 a month, all right? And so you put in $100 and something happens, you know, 2 weeks later, they pay you $1 million to your family, and you leave behind kids that get to go to college and grow up and stuff like that. You should look at disability income insurance. What is disability income? If you die, that's life insurance. If you become disabled and can't work, some, I believe it's probably worse than you know, dying, is you don't have the ability to take care of yourself. You buy disability income insurance. A lot of times your employer has options on that. If not, you buy a personal disability income policy. You then look at the amount of assets you have, and that will determine the amount of disability income you need. And they'll only give you a certain amount based on your income, but you again can self-insure on that. You want to make sure you have proper health insurance. Once again, insurance. I buy health shares. Today I'm 65, so I don't do that anymore, but I bought health shares before that. And what that is the similar to what you're doing is you're buying the insurance and you're paying cash, but the health share is doing that for you for bills that you go along with, and you get discounts. And so a health share in many cases is much less expensive, and you can raise your deductibles and save the difference. Now you put aside that money where? In a health savings account, and then you get a tax deduction on the health savings account, and then you can put the money in there, and it can even be invested, and that health savings account can be pulled out tax-free. We're going to buy home and auto insurance. We're going to look at the deductibles. We're going to look at the personal liability protection that you have. If you have a expensive car, you'll buy something to pay it off. If you have a wreck, it'll give you money if it's your fault to pay for you, and the liability coverage pays if you hurt someone else or tear their car up or whatever it may be. If you're renting or you have homeowners own a home, you buy renters or homeowners insurance. Always, again, I had big deductibles on home and auto insurance. Why? Because it just makes sense. Why do I want to do that? Why do I want to be, you know, if I've got cash, I'll take on the risk. And have I had to do that? Occasionally, but overall, I've done much better. I also buy a personal umbrella. And if you want to get a competitive analysis, and I say analysis, go to roymatlinkjr.com. We have a referral partner that we send all of our home and auto to. And the reason we do that is they do an analysis. And I find people, when I meet with them, I have a property casualty license. I just don't involve myself in it. I refer it to someone that I know knows what they're doing. I see it all the time. People don't have proper liability. They've got high deductibles. They got a bunch of junk that they're paying for they don't need. And so generally you can get better coverage if you review it, and you can generally cut your price. All right. So that's the thing. Eliminate bad debt. What is bad debt? Bad debt is something you can't afford to pay. That's the first bad debt you have. It's not the one that you're behind on. It's the one that you really are just stretched. All right. So that's bad debt. The other bad debt is tied to something that goes down in value. So cars, credit cards, things like that are bad debt. All right. Why do you have a car payment? Why do you have a credit card payment? Because you spent more than you made. Why did you spend more than you made? Well, you didn't have a budget. All right. So we start working backwards and say, why do I have credit card debt? It wasn't the, you know, this thing happened. My tires, you know, I had to replace my tires. No, it was a budget. You did not plan for tire replacement. You did not plan for a new car replacement, which is going to happen one day. So then you end up borrowing the money. So we want to eliminate bad debt, only have good debt. What's good debt? Easily affordable, tied to something that appreciates. So that means, could you have a home and buy that home and it be a bad debt? Absolutely. Because you bought more than you can afford. And if you go to a mortgage company, they will sell you more than you can really afford. It's not unusual for people to buy a house and have no money to furnish that house because they bought the wrong house. That's when you get with a good real estate agent. And I always tell people, find a real estate agent that will interview you. And how do they interview? They find out what you make, what your goals are. I got kids. I need to have good school systems. I need this. My mom lives here. I need to be close here, whatever it may be. So then they take you to something you can afford, because I can assure you, if you go look at a $1 million house, but you can only afford a $600,000 house, then you're not going to be happy when you get to the $600,000 house, no matter how good that $600,000 house is, because everyone, all things being equal, would like the $1 million home rather than the $600,000 home. So that's why you get a good realtor to help you. And if you go to RoyMatlockJr.com, we can refer that too. So we're going to come back, finish up the defense, go into the offense. This is your checklist. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com. We'll be right back. All right. If you're just tuning in, we had a checklist and we've been going through that. You can go to Roy Matlock Jr. Money Business Hour and you'll be able to listen to the previous segments here that we do. And the last part of the defense checklist is your will and trust. And I see this all the time. I eat out a lot. I do not fix things at my house. I don't do that. I eat out and I'm at restaurants. And most of the time when I go to the restaurant, I just walk in, I sit at the bar and I order and I do whatever. And there's somebody next to me. And of course the conversation begins and they're like, what do you do? All right. And I tell them, and then they ask me a question. And it's like I answer financial questions all day long. And then I go to eat and I answer financial questions. I mean, that's what I do. All right. And so I had someone ask me about yesterday about how do you find out if her father who passed away had life insurance? All right. How about that? I don't know. I have no records. I can't tell. I don't have access to stuff. A lot of the reason you don't have access is maybe you did not set up for your heirs, and it doesn't necessarily mean your heirs. You did not set up any type of financial power, healthcare power of attorney. So therefore they're unable to get records and so on. So how do you do that? American Council of Life Insurance. If you'd like for us to help you with that, all you got to do is call us 615-843-2999. So if you do that, we can help you find if you had that. And to kind of give you an idea, there are billions of dollars sitting there in life insurance claims that no one ever claimed. Let me give you an example of how big it is. 60 Minutes did an entire segment on all of the unclaimed life insurance money that has been sitting there forever. All right. So it's one of those deals that you can find out. All right. If you're mother or father had life insurance you didn't know anything about. So there's that. All right. So we set up a will and a trust. Why do we do that? Financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney. That means if you are incapacitated. Someone can pay your bills, make decisions on your behalf, on your health. It also avoids probate. What does that mean? It means the lawyers and the thieves, not the same. Okay, some are, but not the same. But the lawyers and the thieves are the ones that said, you know, your dad or mom owed me $50,000 and I'm going to put a, you know, lien on your property before so nobody can get it. And then you get to choose whether or not you're going to pay him, settle something, give him 20 grand to go away, or you're going to hire an attorney and pay 20 grand to get rid of them. But either way, it costs you 20 grand, whereas you can typically get a will and a trust. You know, we have a life insurance plan service that even includes a will, a do-it-yourself will and trust. And but if you have a simple life, and what is a simple life? You're married to the same person and you have kids with the same person and you don't own a business. You can get one of those for, I mean, we've got them for $1,700 where you can get something set up and you have somebody help you. And so if you're without a will and a trust, I would encourage you to do that. Also check your beneficiaries. Make sure that, especially if you've gone through a divorce, that your beneficiaries get corrected. Or if you, in many cases, I see people that set up wills and trust, and guess what? They never put the property into their trust. And so those are things that are defensive positions. Now we're going to go to offense. The offense is about accumulating. All right. So we got all the defense in place. The first goal is $100,000. That's the first goal that I tell people. You are officially moving forward when you get $100,000. You should do that quickly. I'm going to give you two ways to do it quickly. 10 years, it's about $500 a month invested in a growth fund. That's about what it is. All right. So if you take $500 a month and you draft it, you just automated $100,000. So I get with people and I say, look, the magic of $500. I did a radio show, $500. Here's what we'll do. You set it up. When do you get paid? I get paid on the 1st and the 15th. You probably pay your house payment and rents and stuff on the 1st. So here's what I'm going to do. On the 18th of the month, I'm going to snatch $500 out of your account and stick it into an investment automatically. It's like Netflix. You just start paying and you never stop and you get used to it. And before you know it, you got $100,000. How about that? That's the first goal. Second goal is to get to a million. You're going to need to do that $100,000, that $500 a month for 20 years, something like that, 25 years, and always increase each year because your income's increasing. So this year, if you put 500 in, next year, call me up, say, bump it, 550, whatever that number is. And we do that. We just automate it. And I have such simple little ways of doing things. Okay, we're going to set you up $500 a month automatically, and then we'll do an annual review. How's your income doing? Okay, let's bump it. Okay, let's do 600. Okay, done. Set to go next year. Okay, we'll review. How we doing? Look at your income. Look at the investments. Okay, let's do it again. Let's do 700. Whatever that number is, that's how simple it is. Yet, most people don't have that in place, and the reason I don't have it in place is they don't have anybody to work with, or they just procrastinate. I mean, I ask people all the time, when's the best money time to start saving money? And they say, 10 years ago, right? I mean, that's what I would tell you. So we're going to do that, all right? We're going to continue to grow our income. You're doing a checklist. Did my income go up? I'm accumulating money, all right? Now I'm going to make sure I'm automated. How do you automate? You automate your retirement plans through work. And I see that a lot where people are not taking advantage of even the matching funds. You got your 401k, 403b, if you're working in a nonprofit or a teacher, whatever it may be. If you're on your own, you can do IRAs. I think everyone should own a Roth IRA. That'll give you tax-free income. So if you have a retirement plan through work, throw money in that, get a tax deduction. Take the tax deduction, set it up to go into your Roth IRA. If you're a high-income earner, we can do backdoor Roths. All right. And that allows you to, you make too much money and you're covered by a retirement plan. Well, no big deal. We do what's called a backdoor. We just set up a non-deductible IRA, backdoor it into a Roth immediately. And you've got another Roth IRA, tax-free money going. And so all those things, if we have self-employed income, we have SEPs, we have solo 401ks. If you're a small business owner, you can actually get a tax credit. So if you've got employees, let's say you've got a business that's got 5 or 10 employees and they're key employees. I mean, I have just a few employees. All of my business is independent contractors. I've got a 401k for my people. Why do I have a 401k for my people? Because it's a benefit. I got great people. I want to give them a 401k and I get a tax credit for setting it up. A new 401k if I don't have one. I set one up just recently for a company that had 18 employees, 15 employees, all that stuff. So if you're a small business owner and you want to maintain especially highly skilled people, take care of them. 401k is an easy way of doing it. We set those up. If you're a business owner, call us. We'll be happy to give you a proposal on how you can do it and get a tax credit. So you have 401ks, you have solo 401ks. If you're an independent contractor, you could do, you know, SEP is great. You put $70,000, 25% of your income and deduct it off your taxes. Why wouldn't you do that? So we do that. We go and we set up plans for college. We got 529 plans. We have things called UTMA or UGMAs. That's a transfer or gift of minors. And the difference in a 529, it's designed for tax, you know, tax-free growth for college. The good news about a 529 is if you have one child that gets a college scholarship and the other one needs the money, you can move it around so it's not tied to any one child. You can set up UTMAs with the idea that you put that money aside and when they're 21 or 18, depending on the state, they could take that money. That could be the down payment on their house if you want to help them do that. So all these things are part of the accumulation plan. Then we're going to go into diversification. When we come back, I'm going to talk about buckets, diversification, and how to move forward getting started. If you would like help, which is what we do, anything having to do with money, pick the phone up and call 615-843-2999 and schedule a free call. We'll be happy to help you. We'll be right back. We're finishing up and we've been going through some checklists. In the checklist, we're in the accumulation checklist. First thing with accumulation is get started with an automatic draft. That's the first very beginning of getting moving forward. And what I mean by that is set up monthly investments. I don't know what the number is, but I can tell you that at one point in time, we had, I think, about 17,000 customers putting money in monthly. All right. I mean, that's cool. You know, every month, 17,000 drafts a month. Think about that. All right. When I started looking at my business model, and I'm a business owner, and my business model is designed around helping people get their goals so I can reach my goals. And one of the ways I knew that I could reach my goals was making sure that everyone reached their goals. How do they reach their goals? What's the most effective way to reach their goals? Automatic drafts out of their checking account into a Roth IRA or an investment, you know, college plan, whatever it may be. It's magical. You put it in, you wait, you forget about it. And one day you wake up and you're like, man, I got some cash. Then you have a 401k, automatic, magical. You're like, I got used to not having it. All right. And now I look and I go to bed at night. I've got $300,000 saved. And I remember, you know, when I hit 300 grand, I was like, I got 300,000 bucks saved. And the cool part was I had no bills to speak of. And I was making money, saving money. And I was like, wow, this is cool. I can go for a long time back then on 300 grand and not have to worry. And being the crazy person I am when it comes to money, I started looking, so how long could I go if I never had any income just on the money I have saved? And you start looking at it, you say, wow, that's pretty cool. And so goal number one is get started. Goal number two is to get 100 grand. Goal number three is get to a million. And when you get to a million, here's what you can think about. If you have a million and you're retired, chances are you've got about 100 grand a year coming in between your income off of your investments and your Social Security. So you can live today. If you're making 100 grand a year, you can live. You're not going to have to worry about being on the street. You don't have to worry about outliving your money. More than likely, $1 million will get you set up. And we do that. And so then we diversify our investments and we work toward getting what is our financial independence number. What is the financial independence number? That's the amount of money that you feel you need in order to never have to work and never run out of money. That financial independence number is not a wealthy number, but you come up with it. What is it? Oh, I need $150,000 a year. All right. Well, you're going to need to save X amount of dollars to reach that number in X amount of years if you get X amount of rate of return. And so we go in with people and we talk to them about the financial independence number. You know, what's it cost for you to live? All right. What do you really think that number is? That number is monthly. And then we inflate it and we say, okay, based on where you're at, your financial independence number is $1,732 a month at 9%. And that would be the amount of money you need to save monthly based on where you're at to get to where you want to be at the timetable that you plan on being financially independent. All right. In the case with a lot of people, I'm one of those that I like when I'm 65 years old and people say, when are you going to retire? I'm like, I play golf 90 times a year. I mean, I have a pretty good life. All right. But at the same time, I like doing what I'm doing. So I'll probably never retire. All right. I mean, I may be on this radio show 95 years old. I don't know. My mother made it to 102. My dad made it to 90. So who knows? But the point being is that one of the reasons that you will make more money is you got to find something you like doing. And then it's kind of like a hobby and you just, it's a hobby that pays you. And that's kind of the way I look at what I do. So then what we're going to do. So now we got a great way to earn money. We like it. It's not drudgery. Whenever we're going to retire, we have a number. But that number is not a number that you have to stop working if you like it. All right, I always tell people, do you hate it? You know, no. Well, then why are you retiring? What are you going to do all day? All right, if you don't like it and you want to retire, you earned it. You have the right to do that. You say, hey, I don't want to work anymore. I just think I'm going to lay around, watch TV. If I want to do that, I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to play golf. I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. I earned it. How did you earn it? You save money. All right. So then what we're going to do is we're going to then in this accumulation, we're going to start looking at converting money and diversifying our investments, stocks, bonds, annuities, things like that, to be able to get you set up. So let's talk about some different retirement plan options in different buckets. So we have deductible, deferred, and tax-free. All right. So I'm going to give you an example. Deductible, you could have an IRA. An IRA, you can do a deductible IRA. Why would you do a deductible versus a Roth? Well, if you're behind on savings, and you know, I meet with people there, and I can tell you if you meet with us, we will tell. I can tell you directly where you're at, relatively speaking, to what you earn as it relates to your retirement. I'll say, hey, you're behind, so we got to work on catching up. I meet with people that are behind and they're 60 years old. And I try to do things to get them the maximum amount of income. So if I meet with someone and you're behind, let's say right now, you know, you hadn't done a good job and you're 60 years old and you're trying to figure something out, then what we're going to do is we're going to look at how do we, number one, get you the largest amount of income that'll never run out with no inheritance in mind. Okay. That would be what I do with people that are behind. If you are doing okay, I'm going to make sure that you don't run out of income and you withdraw the right amounts with a goal of keeping up with inflation and having something to pass along. If you're ahead, automatically, we're going to go in and set up a retirement budget and we're going to start looking at estate planning more in detail. How can we put money aside that will go to your heirs easily and with better tax treatment? So that's where we go. So we look at, if we look at a tax deductible plan, why would we do it? Well, you're probably behind and a tax deductible IRA rather than a Roth. You're behind, but you have good income. So we're going to get a bigger tax break and then we'll be at a lower rate when we retire. And I hear people all the time, yeah, but it's rates, they could. But you know, the only thing you can do is look at today. All right. What is the current environment? What is the best way? You can do a 401k or a 403b. You can do a 457 plan. That's a deferred comp plan. All of these are tax deductible. What does that mean? You don't pay taxes now. You pay taxes later. The idea is the money that you don't pay taxes on is invested into those accounts. Otherwise, you would have to invest more to get an after tax. And then what would happen is that money wouldn't be growing. So what we do is, rather than giving a dollar to the IRS, we're leaving it in an account that is growing, and we get the earnings off of that deduction that we have to pay taxes on later. So that's tax deductible and deferred. You have other accounts that are tax deferred. All right. And what that means is that the money goes in after tax and you have to pay taxes later. Annuities fall in that category. So if I put $100,000 into an annuity and I leave it there, and there's a lot of different types of annuities, I don't generally use annuities for accumulation unless we're using what's called a variable annuity. And so any of these fixed indexed annuities, things like that, typically are not what I'm using for accumulation. I'm using mostly for income, occasionally different if I have someone that, you know, is very, very risk averse. But I typically use variable annuities, which have stock market upsides and things like that. But bottom line, you put in $100,000 and it grows to $200,000. If you don't touch it, you don't pay taxes on it. Now, when you pass, there will be taxes on the gain. All right. So, but you can defer it. So it's a great way to invest money in the market and let it grow tax deferred. A lot of times people use annuities to pull income, and I like annuities for lifetime income guarantees. You have tax-free options. That would be a Roth IRA, even a Roth 401k, 403b. You can do that. That's good. I have young children. I say young in their 20s, and they have plans through their work, and they are putting money into the Roth portion of it because they're starting young. And because they're starting young, there'll be a big amount of money because they got a lot of time on their side. And so I told them to do that. And that's what they do. You can also buy life insurance, and you can pull money out of your life insurance policy tax-free. I like variable life because it's money put into mutual funds inside a life insurance shell. It allows you to grow tax deferred, withdraw it tax-free, and you hold the policy until you die, and all of the gains that you have pulled out over and above what you put in are tax-free to the beneficiaries. So we have buckets, all right? We have different buckets of investments. We have guaranteed buckets. We have growth buckets, and we have somewhat in the middle. So that's stocks, bonds, and cash. And then we have buckets for different types of taxation. So we have taxation, you know, tax deferred, tax deductible, tax free. So we're looking at different buckets. If we go in and we have one bucket, I'll give you an example. One bucket, all stocks. That's fine if you're young. One bucket, if you're older, all stocks. That's not a good idea because you could have the bad declining markets right when you retire and now all your money is sitting in there. One bucket, which is all in the bank, guaranteed. I see the extremes all the time. And I'm like, no, you don't have all your money sitting in the bank. You don't have all your money sitting in some low interest, you know, type account. But on the other hand, you don't want to have it all in the stock market unless you've got a long time horizon. All right. So we want to be thinking, so what is a good allocation? Maybe two buckets. Maybe you have some stuff that's got some guarantees in it, and you've got some things that have growth in it. That might be a stock and bond fund, or what's called a balance fund. As we get near retirement, we become more conservative. We might add another element called an annuity, all right? And that gives us a lifetime income guarantee. We might even go one step further and add something that would protect us for long-term care. So now what we've done is we put together a bucket. What's the bucket? We're happy. We're always happy. The market goes down. We have conservative things that the market didn't hurt. Market goes up. We pull from the stuff that goes up. We have a guaranteed income. That's cool. All right. So we put these buckets together. If you'd like help with your money, that's what I do. That's what my team does. And you can reach us two ways. You can go to roymatlockjr.com, or you can pick the phone up and call 615-843-2999. We would be happy to help you. Free consultation. Thanks for listening.